We'll be talking about understanding witness. Understanding witness. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Understanding witness. Because that's our call for the hour. That's the emphasis of God for us in this time. 1 John chapter 5 verse 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The word record there, is in Greek martoreho, martoreho, which is the word for witness. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Amen. Verse 8 says, and there are three that bear witness, still the word martoreho, in earth: Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, but the scripture I just put out exists in a particular context. And if we take it out of the context, you may not understand the true progression of revelation. However, this is quite revelatory enough, pertaining to things that are in heaven. There are only three that have authority to bear witness: the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The Bible says these three are in one. There are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Now, this revelation is in a certain context. And the context in which this revelation is can be revealed in verse 4 and verse 5. Verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, first of all, we are taught in verse 4 that the only possibility for us not to be subject to the systems of this world is through the possibility that faith makes available. The next verse qualifies the object of our faith. That is not just any kind of faith that gives you leave from the dominion of this world, but faith in the Son of God. The next verse now goes to qualify who this Son of God is, the basis upon which he was accredited, having to know that he has that capacity whereunto, if we believe unto him, we'll be able to escape the manipulation of the systems of this world. Verse 6 says, this is he that came by water, that is Jesus. That is his accreditation. What were the proofs that indicated that Jesus had such a capacity that if you believe in him, you will overcome the systems of this world? That accreditation is revealed in verse 6. It says he came by water and by blood, not by water only, but by water and by blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So the Bible says Jesus came by water, Jesus came by blood, and the Spirit also bears witness to that. Now, if you check the scope of his coming, you will find out that the basis of his accreditation, the basis upon which witness was born about him on the face of the earth, is in synchrony with verse 8, the qualifications of verse 8. He says that there are three that bear witness on earth, which is what? Water, the blood, and the Spirit. And the Bible says that this Jesus came by water, but not by water only, also by blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. It's on the basis of Jesus' accreditation that the main bowl of that revelation was released. That there are three that bear witness in heaven, that there are three that bear witness on earth. I've explained it again and again and again and again, what that scripture means when it says Jesus came by water and by blood. I've explained it too many times, such that I don't want to dabble into all of that again. It's just that. Alright. In the book of John chapter 1, hallelujah. See, I'm so tired from the meeting we just had, but I must be here. That's why I'm here. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let us look at, let me take you through a few scriptures. In John chapter 1, let's see how Jesus came by water. Then we'll also see how Jesus came by blood. But the purpose of my Bible study is understanding witness. That's what I want to talk about. And I got my emphasis from her prayer point. She struck a chord while she prayed. So I decided to draw my emphasis from that. Okay. John chapter 1 verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing. He said, I was given the ordinance of baptism as a means of identifying this fellow. I did not know him naturally. There was no natural means by which I could apprehend him. Henceforth, because of that, I was given the instrument of baptism as a means of making him manifest to Israel. And I, John, bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he that baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear. Guess what that word record, which word is that? Record. I bore witness. The same word. Witness. So John is saying, I bore record through the instruction that was given and the ordinance of baptism, because one of the ways by which that immortal personality can be unveiled to the Israel of God was going to be by water. Water will provide witness of him. So it was during his baptismal service. John told us his marching orders. He said, him that spoke to him in the wilderness gave him this sign. Gave him this sign that it would take water to reveal the identity of that immortal personality whose status in the spirit is he that will baptize with fire. Only water can reveal him. And that was why he was given the ordinance of baptism. So many people came to baptize at John's river. However, it was not because of them that John came. John came setting up his baptism as a means of identifying a personality. A personality that was the real baptizer. He was the Baptist, but he was going to identify the baptizer. The Baptist baptized men with water, which was physical, but the baptizer was going to baptize with a substance which is not of this world. Not a true baptizer. So the Baptist received an instruction of how to identify the baptizer. Hallelujah. Now, so it was by water that Jesus was identified. And John said, I saw this sign in the life of Jesus, and I bore record indeed that he is the Son of God. I hope you know the reason for which we came here was the witness that gave credibility to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. One of which is water, which we see here in John the Baptist's baptismal service. That the Baptist was commissioned as a Baptist so that he can find the baptizer through baptism. Right? Right, so the Baptist was commissioned to find the baptizer through the instrumentality of baptism. So, we now saw that when Jesus came out of the water, the Bible says he was praying, and the heavens were rained, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. Now the Bible says that there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Now when Jesus went for the baptism, and the Bible reveals that he came up out of the water, and when he was praying, that the activity on earth affected the heavens, and the heavens were rained, and the Spirit of God descended from heaven in bodily shape like a dove. Now it is needful for us to understand that in the theology of witness, in the teaching pertaining to witness, it is needful to understand that there is only one personality in heaven that doubles as a witness in heaven and a witness upon the face of the earth. Because the Bible says that the Father is a witness in heaven. The Word is a witness in heaven. The Spirit is a witness in heaven. The Bible says that upon the earth, the water is a witness, the blood is a witness, and the Spirit is a witness. So the Spirit occupies an office of the witness because he doubles as a witness in heaven and a witness on earth. And that was why when Jesus came out of the water during the baptism of John, the heavens were rent. The activity that took place in the water and when he came out of the water affected the alignment of heaven. And one of the witnesses of heaven had to descend. And he descended in bodily shape like a dove, and it alighted upon him. And that was a sign that he was the Son of God. John bore record to that, that these were the marching orders I was given in the wilderness. I was commissioned as a Baptist to begin to do baptism so that I can find the baptizer. It was a strategy. And when John saw that, he bore record. And guess what? The word record is the same word all through the Bible for witness. Matoreho. Matoreho. I bear witness that this is the Son of God. Notice that we have a quorum for witness in the Bible. The Bible says at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every matter shall be established. So we have a quorum for witness. One person cannot establish witness about a matter. It must be more than one person. And the minimum quorum, the minimum requirement for witness is two people. But the Bible reveals under the maximum number in order to satisfy all the claims of witness is three people. You don't need more than three. So it's two or three. And that's why in heaven there are three witnesses. And that's why on earth there are what? There are three witnesses. And that is the quorum of witness. Now, so we have established how that Jesus came by water, as John the Baptist's baptismal service, as a strategy to identify the baptizer. The baptizer had, in the Holy Ghost, had to be identified through a supernatural means, and that supernatural means happened to be baptism. So the baptism of John is not necessarily a New Testament baptism, but a strategy by which the baptizer in the Holy Ghost could be identified. And that's what the book of 1 John identifies as coming by water. Jesus came by water. He was identified by water. He was accredited by water. He was revealed by water. His true identity was concealed until the water experiment that took place at the Jordan River. His identity was not known to the Israel of God. Now, secondly, the Bible says that Jesus came by blood. And I've explained this again and again. I don't want to go to that. Well, I've explained that he has come by water. So you go find out what it means for him to come by blood. Hallelujah. So that we can jump. Because my journey leads us to what I'm trying to explain is Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But I need to tell you the theology of witness so that you understand how witness is in the program of God. For instance, you existed as a seed of eternity before you were formed in your mother's womb. Your true identity is concealed, is hidden in God. In fact, your true identity is older than the foundation of this world. There is nothing of this world that can identify what you really are. Talk more of your parents. The name they gave you is not necessarily strategic or prophetic. Because you, when you got born again, something happened to you. You were born in the flesh because of the will of man. You were born in the flesh by blood. But you were born again, not according to the will of man, and not by blood. Hallelujah. You are not with me. Now, so, since you were born in the natural, because I saw your post about your dad. He said, Papa, you gave us human life. Rest from your labors. How many of you saw that? My pastor. Hallelujah. You may not know what that short sentence means. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Now, our parents gave us human life. And not many of our parents were born again. And not many of them are yet born again now. Hallelujah. But your true identity can only be found in the crucible of another birth. When you are born into the realm of your reality, then you are born into the ecosystem where your DNA can be found. Where the identity, the inscription upon your life and your destiny can be read. Hallelujah. So it's the discovery of who you are within that framework, that frame of reference, that is actually the intent that God had in mind before he sent you this way as a pilgrim. And if you don't get to identify that intent of God, you are likely to be successful in what is not your destiny. If God loves you so much, he will not allow you to succeed in what is not written concerning you. He will not allow you. Amen. Because many people have worked very hard and they have become successful in what was not written concerning them. Now, it's not enough for you to press into God and find out that, okay, I'm an evangelist. The fact that you know that doesn't make it established. Because it's only known to you. The reason for which, even though a young man sees a young damsel and tells the young damsel, I'm interested in you, God wants me to marry you, it's the will of God. I saw you in a vision. You were putting cake in my mouth and all of that. Now, the reason why that, even if the lady agrees, doesn't translate to marriage, even though there's conviction. All right? We need to come and do a ceremony here. The reason is because people need to witness that conviction. If the conviction is not witnessed, even though the lady accepts, the guy accepts, it is not yet established. Until there are two or three witnesses, that matter that you have conceived cannot be established in the earth. Just like you might find your identity in the spirit realm, and except it is confirmed by two or three witnesses, it cannot be established in the earth. That's the reason for ordination. Are you with me? The guy had the calling and he was walking the calling all the while. But what ordination means is that the church bears witness that this one actually carries the Spirit of God. And we have seen over the years, because based on the lifestyle that he has lived, lifestyle of sacrifice that he has consistently lived in, there is no way he can live this kind of life except there's a conviction in his spirit. We have watched his life and we declare by that which we have in God and with God that this person has a call, and we lay hands upon him to confirm it. That's witness. You know the Bible says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. He said, believe also in his prophet. The fact that the guy believes in the Lord of his God and he has a relationship with his God, that was why he was able to identify his calling in the first place. But there is something else that the body of Christ will have to do to set that man in the place that God has called him to be. And that is actually the role of earthly witness that supports heavenly witness which he has contacted in his spirit. On the basis of one of the three witnesses in the heavens, he contacted his identity in the spirit. There must be earthly witness to support it in order for it to find expression upon the face of the earth. And that's why when you believe in your heart, it's not sufficient. You have to confess with your mouth. It's a confession that establishes it. Your believing makes it real in the spirit realm. But your confession makes a natural realm aware of what you believe. And that's the two-way street that establishes something from the spirit into the natural. If not, it will not be established, even though it is valid. So there's no ministry, no calling that is as valid as that of Jesus. But Jesus needed witness upon the face of the earth in order for that which he came to herald to be established. And I'm doing all of this jigsaw work to tell. So it's not enough for you to know Baba so much and then you have picked something from God. And so if it happens to be that you pick something in the spirit and then somebody that you did not discuss with whatsoever now comes and starts telling you the same thing, different man, different vessel, it confirms it. It means the direction you are about to take is an established direction that the body of Christ is aware of. And because the body of Christ is aware of it, it's the spirit of Christ that is operational in the body. See, I don't have strength. I've not recovered from the crusade I came from. So I can't even talk loud now. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, the Lord was great on that ground. Never seen so many souls give their life to Christ in one service. One service. It was a sea of haste. And I've never been that powerful all my life. The power that flowed through this mortal vessel was such that I've never seen before. And when I finished, I had body aches. I'm still trying to recover. Amen. Hallelujah. So a friend of mine, especially issues that have to do with direction. You don't just say, okay, I'm a prophet and God speaks to me. Because of that, I've heard something and I'm about to relocate. That's not how it is done. There must be witness. Because I've seen even very senior people that took off like tornadoes only to find out after 5 years that that thing, that direction that they took was not from God. And then he set them back so many years more. And for them to get restored, it became almost impossible because the wisdom by which they took that initiative was not a wisdom that was settled in the body of Christ. And so before you take an action, the body of Christ must pick it. I mean a major action. And when I say the body of Christ, I'm not saying the whole, but I'm just saying members of that body. To show you that that revelation is not an isolated revelation. It's not an ideal. Ideal is a Greek word from whence idiot derives. Alright? Now, ideal actually indicates that this person has a position that is exclusive to him. Now, idiot actually is not an insult. When you see a madman on the street, he in his eyes, you are the one that is mad. Because his own position is exclusive to him. That's why he is ideal. Now, the Bible says concerning Elijah that he took a trip, a journey of his own devising. That means he took a journey that nobody witnessed that it was God leading. That journey was the journey that took him under the juniper tree. And that was his journey of exit out of ministry. It was an ideal kind of ideology. It was direction that was exclusively his own precipitated direction from his own heart. And there was no confirmation from the body of Christ to establish that walk. And that was his walk out of ministry. Are you still with me? Witness is critical. The witness that you have in your spirit and the one that comes from the body of Christ. The Bible says where at the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Bible also says a threefold cord cannot be easily broken. So everything that is, every civilization that they establish around the threefold cord cannot be easily compromised. So the Bible reveals that Jesus came by water. The Son of Man. Nobody better called than him. But they had to be witness to reveal his true identity and his mission. So Jesus came by water. He also came by blood. So through blood, his identity was revealed. So through blood, his identity was revealed. So I need to take you to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. That's the book of witness itself. The book of witness is the book of Hebrews. Then when I'm done with the book of witness, I can now go to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Because I've seen that this is a season of witnessing. But we need to understand the concept of witness so that we can do it effectively. It's a season. It's a season of witnessing. Amen. All right. Are you there in... this is not King James. All right. Okay. We are in chapter 1, ma. Oh, glory to God, my Bible is back. Thank you, sir. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith. All right, let's go back to Hebrews. Are you there? In Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Please give me 1 minute. Let me catch up. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The word report there is the same word witness. The Greek word for report there is what? Martoreho. Don't forget that. By it, the elders obtained a good witness. Are you with me? Now, let's settle on that and try to understand it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good witness. So a good witness can be obtained. And I need to explain what that means. Because when you are going to minister to somebody, there is a lot of ministry that you do outside of your talking that will determine whether or not the person accepts your presentation. Hallelujah. Okay, in order for me to explain this scripture, I'll still need us to do some push into some other scriptures, but I don't intend to do a Bible study. Just want to bring a point out. In the book of 1 John chapter 5 verse 6, the Bible says, it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Spirit is truth. Now, previously, when John spoke about truth, hallelujah. Previously, when John spoke about truth, John called him the Spirit of truth. That when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Please don't allow that bird distract you. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come. All right. Amen. Stay with me. Stay with me. John said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. That when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Why do you need the Spirit to be your guide? Because of the terrain you are going to be navigating. If you enter into the spirit realm without a guide, the spirit realm is like a wilderness. You miss your way. You come out with experiences that are not healthy. It's not only God that is in the spirit realm. We also have demons in the spirit realm. It's not only Christ that is in the spirit realm. We also have dimensions of darkness in the spirit realm. And the fact that you understand the technology of going beyond the veil, going beyond your flesh, and entering into the realm is not enough for you to survive the realm. You need a navigator to help you move around in the realm of the Spirit. And so the Bible says that when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all experience, all reality. So the things that the scriptures speak about are actually testimonies of realms and experiences in God. And it is the Spirit of truth that will guide you into those experiences. So in the book of John, the Spirit of God is referred to as the Spirit of truth. But in 1 John, John obviously has gained more insight, and he no longer called him Spirit of Truth. But he said, this Spirit is truth. This Spirit is truth. It's the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Good. So the ministry of truth is when the Holy Spirit bears witness. When the Holy Spirit begins to bear witness, is actually deploying and prosecuting the ministry of truth. I want you to get that first. Ministry of truth is tied to what? The Spirit's witness.
Is it again?
Yes. So the ministry of truth is what? It's tied to the Spirit's witness. The only way we can have access to the perspective of truth is when we receive the witness from the Holy Ghost. And many times, the witness of the Holy Spirit is different from our own submission at face value. So the witness of the Holy Spirit takes us beyond face value. It takes us into the nature of things, the intrinsic composition of things. It takes us beyond the senses and the sight, and goes into the very nature of things. Are you with me? Okay. So if the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the first thing we need to do is to define substance in that context. Because if we don't understand the mechanism by which faith functions, you will not even know when you are in faith in the first place. You think that because you are doing something like confession, that you're actually walking in faith. You know, those kindergarten faith things people teach around, keep saying it and all of that. On the contrary, I need to make you understand something. If you are in faith, You don't need to effort to say it. You say it so. But just in case you need effort to keep saying the thing, you are in the flesh. The Bible says that if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The Bible says, when a man believes, he will say. That means one of the things that indicates that a man believes is that his talking will change. And I'm not talking about changing your talk in conformity with a belief system. I'm saying when you believe, your talk will change. And it's not the other way around. Now, you see, I have been a Christian for a long time. So I can tell you when people teach you fake things. Because, are you following? When you believe, what? Your talking will change. But the fact that you change your talking doesn't mean you believe. So we need to get it from the substance level. If we can get it from the substance level, you understand what faith is very practically. You can relate with that. And then on the strength of that, we can now understand our ministry as witnesses. Our ministry as witnesses is transferred to us. The ultimate witness is the Holy Ghost. The only basis upon which we can witness is that we have taken, the Holy Spirit has conferred upon us some of his assignments. And we are doing it on his behalf. But you cannot do that kind of ministry of witness outside of a witness in yourself from the Holy Ghost himself. You do not qualify to do that kind of witness except you have what? You are exposed to the ministry of truth, which is a witness of the Holy Ghost. You get it? Faith is what? A substance. What exactly is that substance? The first thing you need to know about that substance is that substance that faith is actually the witness of the Spirit of God. Which is what? The ministry of what? Of truth. Now, you see, the reason why you need the witness of the Holy Spirit is because the thing that you are trying to reach out to is not such that your physical senses can apprehend. Your physical senses cannot relate with it, so you will need a witness about it. It is beyond the scope of the natural, so you will need a supernatural being to tell you about its reality, to witness to you that even though you can't see this thing, it is existent, because that's my own realm. And that's my assignment, to navigate you into every truth. And the way I'm going to do that is by providing witness. So when that witness comes, it is a substance. It is the down payment. It's the proof that those things are actually in existence, because it is the office of the Holy Spirit to bear witness that deals with dimensions that your physical senses cannot handle. And so just in case you receive a witness from the Holy Spirit, that witness becomes the substance that faith is. Faith cannot be furnished any other way outside of the witness of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Now, even as weak as my body is, we can still practicalize this matter, because this is not a theoretical matter. This is a practical matter. Everywhere I go, I say, this is what God says. And I always threaten the people, you are excluded from believing. Because I walk with a sovereign God. And if I tell you the Lord said this, the Lord will prove it. You know why I'm so confident? Because I know the witness of the Holy Ghost. And the witness of the Holy Ghost is bigger than your doubt, is stronger than your unbelief. And so the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Your hope can't touch it. And so the witness of the Holy Spirit now furnishes it. It furnishes substance about it. That though your physical senses cannot relate with it, the witness of the Holy Spirit will suffice. It's as good as done if the Holy Spirit bears what? Witness. Are you with me? You know the Bible reveals that there are three that bear witness in heaven. Holy Spirit bears what? Witness. That becomes substance. It is him that is saddled with the responsibility of witness bearing. And that is why he's the only one that can bear witness in heaven and bear witness on earth. And that was why when Jesus went to John the Baptist baptismal service, it was the Holy Spirit that came down, because he can do witness up there and he can do witness where? Down here. In the Old Testament, it was a regime of the Father. So we saw him bearing witness upon the earth. Then when I saw Jesus, that was his time. But you know what? The Holy Spirit can do and do it. So even in the Old Testament, when the Father says something, the Holy Spirit comes and begins to do some stuff. Because he has the office of witness, the responsibility of witness, irrespective of age, of era, of dispensation. It is the Spirit that beareth witness. It's only him that is the witness in heaven, and what? A witness upon the face of the earth. And so the Bible says it's the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So that witness of the Holy Spirit becomes the substance of your faith. Is that clear? The substance of your faith. Now, the key to victory in everything natural, everything ministry, the key to victory is that you pray until you get substance. You are not with me? It took me years to learn what I'm teaching you. You pray until you get what? Have you ever stood before 3,000 people before? How many of you here? Privileged to stand before like 3,000 people, preach the gospel, or maybe to bring administration. You will need to, you won't know what 3,000 people will need. So you now go and look for a witness in heaven to bring the perspective of heaven, to bring witness from that perspective concerning this congregation. So I go in, and then I stay in the place of prayer, speaking in tongues. Faith is born in the place of prayer. Don't ever forget that. Faith is born in the place of prayer. You know, a lot of us are confused with that scripture that says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the word of God. Go study again, and this time when you study, use a lexicon. And when you use a lexicon, maybe the meaning of that verse might be a little bit different from what you think it is. Faith cometh by hearing. And what do you hear that brings faith? You know, say, hearing by, check that thing, is the voice of God. The voice of God. That means the proceeding word of God. You can only tap into the economy of the proceeding word of God if you are in the place of prayer. The operation of Christ within you must be stirred, must be activated, must be functional in order for you to enter into the economy of the voice of God. And it's needful for you to understand that the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. The one that God is saying now, that's the one that is powerful. That's the living word of God. If you go study the Bible and just pick any scripture at random and say this is the word of the day, you are not in luck. Maybe you have a devotional. Normally, devotional ends with word of the day. And you pick it up like that and say, you are not in sync with, you are in antiquity. You are like somebody using 1983 tools for today. You are a 1984 model of yourself, thinking that with a devotional you are ready for today's life. No, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The way to get the word of the day is to go on your knees and keep praying unto God, quicken something in your spirit. That is the word that will help you that day. That your devotional is the logos. The letter that keys. It will make you have a false sense of security. Meanwhile, you're not prepared for the real life. I'm sorry if I bust your bubble. I'm sorry, but I'm old in the kingdom now, so I can tell you some things. Hallelujah. Now, so faith, that's what faith is. That's what the substance of faith is. Hallelujah. So don't think you can just study your Bible and then get faith. The reason why you may study your Bible and get faith is because maybe you prayed and your spirit is on high level. And then God now led you to a scripture and you opened it and then fire came out. The living word. All faith must be born in the place of prayer. Except the operation of Christ within you is activated and is functional, you cannot stumble on faith. It's a sovereign act of God. And I need to tell you something. God is not willing to furnish faith on every matter. Yes. He's not willing to furnish faith on what? On every matter. Faith will only be furnished if the issues that you are pressing about are issues that are consistent with the will of God. Yes. So don't say, what whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and you step out like a tornado, go to a car shop and say, I say you will not be sold. They will sell that car. That's the only car they will sell. And you know that your faith is defective of one of the tools. Because the Bible says that faith worketh by love. Love is selfless. Love is not self-centered. If the reason why you're exercising the faith is so that you can get something, you're already out of sync with the entire mechanism of faith. Sometimes when we have needs, we can't even pray about them until the Holy Ghost gives us that direction. You know why? If you like pray about it that time, when he didn't give you the direction, you will pray about it and nothing will happen. Because he will not furnish faith. And then suddenly you just wake up and say, pray about this thing now. And you begin to pray about it. And in 30 minutes time, it's done. Because faith worketh by my love. If faith doesn't work by love, and mountain of fire prayer is answered the way they pray it, would have had mass burials. Molanto mene silaba. I don't want to laugh. There's no strength to laugh today. There's no strength. It worketh by love. That's why the carnal man cannot take advantage of his might to be twisted in the hands of the carnal man. Only a man that walketh love, and only a man that serves the will of God can be in the best position of love. Because what God wills, he wills from his nature, and his nature is love. Every time you are in sync with the will of God, faith will be furnished in your heart. I was not praying for a wife when God showed me one. I was just doing God's will, and I wanted to know more about the will to execute, to prosecute. It was in that moment. He said, okay, meanwhile, God, you see, God doesn't need any special to focus on you specially. You are so small. In fact, you are not in sight. You are so small. So when you get locked up in the sovereign will of God, as you perceive it, you are hooked up to it. And, hallelujah, I'm digressing, which is not good. I'm taking you too far. Let me tell you five things. If you observe five of them, you'll prosper. The first is God's man in God's place, doing God's work in God's way and at God's time will not lack God's support. God's man. These are the five variables. And this my presentation is as a result of many years of Bible study. God's man in God's place, doing God's work in God's way and at God's time will not lack God's support. Some people want to do God's work, but they don't want to submit to God's time. Many people have come here expecting a miracle. Hallelujah. I know the God of miracles, but I don't do miracles. He does. And he can decide to do a miracle. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. And he can decide not to do another miracle. Because I found out that there's a sovereign timing in God's work. And if you take off before your time, you are not going to have God's blessings, even though you have labored for a long time. You did not submit to God's time. And some people are wiser than God, so they have their own prescription of how life should be outside of God's model. You must be God's man in God's place, doing God's work, in God's way, and at God's time. If you fulfill these five things, irrespective of the devil and demons and Abaddon and all of them put together, you will just be sailing. So that's the life of faith. The life of faith must answer to those five parameters. So let me stop here. So faith is the substance. He said, by it the elders obtained a good witness. Elders obtained a good witness by faith. A good witness. Alright. So these are examples of the elders that obtained a witness by faith. Let's take two elders before I take you to the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says that ye shall receive power. There will be an endowment that you receive so that you can participate in the calling of witnesses, which is exclusively the Spirit's work. But you'll be engrafted to partner with the Holy Ghost so that you can actually be a partaker and a functionary in one of the assignments that is willed to the Holy Ghost. All right? Like I said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. That is to say that there is an understanding. Vicky, you are not. Where is Vicky? Vicky, don't run away. My deal with you has not been accomplished. We must understand that there are some dimensions of understanding that can only come by faith. And only come by faith. But, the Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Are you with me? What somebody might call delay might be process. And it's only by faith that you can understand your own uniqueness and know the real name for what you are going through. Somebody else might call it delay, but the Bible says, by faith we understand. You might call something a battle. Huh? A battle. But that name, that word is common among us, battle. Hallelujah. It's common. We are warriors, so we are used to that word, battle. But you might call something. You know, the Bible says that the spiritual man judges all things, but he himself is judged by no man. You can't judge him accurately except you judge him in the spirit. You can't know your process accurately, the meaning of each point in your process accurately, except you know it in the Spirit. So the Bible says that by faith we understand. You will get into this carnality of comparing yourself with other people, trying to be like other people, and get yourself worked up and worked out just because you don't understand things by the Spirit. In the crusade we are coming from, one of the music ministers was crippled. When they invite him, he will crawl to the stage. But let him hold the mic. I'm talking about an Islamic atmosphere that has been polluted by incantation. Don't preach in Benue and think you're an evangelist. Go there. Go to where they pollute the atmosphere by 5 a.m. If the anointing comes upon you, you are called. And so this guy crawls literally to the pulpit and takes a microphone and he begins to call the presence of God. And no matter how this PA system wants to disappoint him, he can subdue everything. Now, for him to sing God's praise like that, he must have understood by faith his condition. There were many ladies that came into this place, and when they came for counseling in the office, they said they want to get settled down, they want to marry. I said, well, I don't work wonders. I don't do miracles, but I know the God of miracles. And one thing about the God of miracles, you can't test him, you can't tempt him, you can't time him. He is so wise, and he knows where everything fits. But if you can wait for him, I'm sure he will deliver. I'm not a magician. I'm a messenger. And a messenger should not be held responsible for his message.
Hallelujah.
There was a lady in the choir here that used to use glasses like bottle. And I prayed for her. And when I prayed for her, I did not even know her condition. You know this white bulb in the eye? Her own was as if they took a razor and slit it open. It was cut open. And I prayed for her. And when I prayed for her, you know what happened? The thing healed from inside and a scar fell off the eyes. And the eye became whole again. And she stopped using the glasses. Do you know what? I didn't even know. It was after many years that the lady asked me, do you know why I'm following you? You healed my eyes. I said, okay, how will I heal your eyes and not know? It was right here when I laid hands on the lawyer that was our first drummer. He had glasses. He could not read for 30 minutes. I laid hands on him. And when he went to BSU, two maggots came out of his eyes. From that day, he had no need for glasses till today. Maggots, black maggots, thick maggots. He never knew. Oh my Jesus. But you know, I don't claim to that anybody that has eye problem, I can. It was here we were doing Bible study. They brought a crippled lady when they were troubling us around here. Because they said we were disturbing. So God made one of their daughters crippled. Then them that were disturbing us couldn't send the person. So they called a friend from BSU to bring the crippled person. I was doing Bible study and I had water. They brought water for me in a bottle. And the Lord said, take that water, sprinkle it on the legs. And I sprinkled it. He said, okay, raise her up now. I raised her up. Then she began to walk. Hallelujah. That had nothing to do with me. Somebody was directing me on what to do. So for me to now claim that I can do some stuff, hey. I don't know when he will direct me like that. So I can't lie to you that I have an answer to your problem. But I know the one that does. And I know him well. Can be talking to him gradually. But if that's all you came to look for, you will be weary with time. But if you came to look for God, you will find him. And when you find him, he will know how, by faith, you begin to understand. By faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. We understand by faith. When we started this walk, God said we should, that the light should be dim, that we should not go into publicity. We should not make, that there's so much noise in this city that we should take root downward. And he didn't tell me the number of years. It's later I understood that it was 10 years. Next month it will be 10 years. After next month, the noise will begin. But 10 years of silence. Because we understood it by faith. Some people will take off like a tornado. It is wrong for you to make noise too early. If you are born in Jupiter, if you have a scepter of wizardry, meet us on the field in November. We took 10 years of prayer to come out. Your scepter will be bent. Because enough. Oh my God. You need to see what God did in the north. I never knew that God could use me like that. Jesus. I know some of my brethren, at least Felix was there. Yeah. They were afraid of me, them. Hallelujah. We took 10 years. He said, don't make noise. There's so much competition in that city. Go down, take root downward. And so that your vine can mature, your identity in God can be revealed, your true nature in Christ can begin to come out. After 10 years, I didn't know to take 10 years. By faith, the Bible says, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. My question is, what do you understand? Because that substance will give you conviction. That substance will give you confidence about things that your senses cannot relate with. That substance will also give you understanding. After many years, I met one of my friends. He was the one that taught me how to evangelize, how to witness, how to teach people, how to preach to people. He was the one that taught me. I followed him at the back. So I saw the way he was talking to people about Jesus. So he now said, yeah, you will talk to the next one. We now went. I spoke to the next one. He gave his life to Christ. We now went. He will speak to the next one. I'll prepare again. So he was the one that discipled me in evangelism. I met him 12 years after that training. He was confused. Meanwhile, I was already bubbling in ministry. I had gotten direction from God. I met my evangelism man
confused in Abuja. I said, no. You know what? He was confused because there was no substance. Because the Bible says, by faith, we what? Understand. Now, don't be in a hurry in life. Sit down for as long as it takes and what? Understand. Understand. I've seen that people that took off like a tornado, they are in a hurry, They never came home. They vanished into thin air. They died out. At the age of 38, their life ended. Meanwhile, it was just 30. They had no more option. Those are people that took off in the flesh. Life is long ago. It takes time. Except you understand by faith what it really is, you will be shadow boxing. Be beating the air. Don't make so much meaning. I saw the guy, my evangelism teacher, he was confused in Abuja. And I told him, I said, what did God say? Then I realized he did not stay with God enough to know what God said. He just saw an opening and he looked as if he will end up abroad. So he went into that train. And by the time he got there, 12 years, 11 years, when the abroad man came, that's when he lost his peace. That means he was not guided by the navigator. That's why you are going to prepare passport. He lost peace. I started hearing God that time. And what God was telling him was not passport. Meanwhile, the motivation that took him where he went was that passport will come and then he will now go somewhere. And the time that the passport came, he started understanding by faith. And that passport move was contrary to what he was understanding. So I need to go back home to the village and rescue some of our prayer partners that decided to veer off. They are good people, but they did not wait to understand by faith. I need to go back home and support some of them. By faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. Don't worry about marriage, who will marry me. I'm growing old. See, the Bible says that he that believeth shall not make haste. Let me tell you, you will not believe me. I know you will not believe. You are saying your biological time clock and things like that. See, if you marry the wrong person, you may God give you understanding. Even for my enemy, I don't wish that. Sister Bridget has a testimony there. She has a lamentation. And it's, oh my God. Don't be there in the wrong. It's better for you to be single for life. Don't jump into what God is not part of. Because if you jump into it, oh my God. By faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God so that the things that are seen were not made by things which do appear. Now, listen. So this is the way the Holy Spirit furnishes faith. He furnishes it in form of witness. Now, if you are going to be a witness, you are actually aligning with the Holy Spirit. It's an alignment with the Holy Spirit because the chief witness is the Holy Ghost. Okay? Of all things that pertain to Christ, it is the Holy Spirit that brings us into the reality of all that Christ is. And now, the Bible does not say witnesses for Christ, but witnesses unto. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Is that what is in the Bible? And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Shall be witnesses unto. All right. Imagine that Jesus is having a case in court. And you are supposed to be a witness unto him. Okay. There's a case in court. And I'm supposed to be a witness, your witness, that the testimony that you are bringing to the court is true. So I have a storyline to present that will authenticate your own presentation. I'm not there because I'm the one that's in court. I'm there because I'm called to court to validate, to bring validity, to bring substance to your claim. Now, the claim about Jesus, the testimony of Jesus is in contention. It's in contention. Serious contention. And you are going to be that witness that will come and bring evidence, bring substance in order to validate the claim of Jesus. Is that clear? Now, in order for you to do this, you need the Holy Ghost. And just like I said, you cannot be a functional under witness except you receive that witness from the Spirit first. The substance must be furnished. And so before I come to speak for Jesus in public, like when we're having contact, even now, before I came now, in order for me to know what to say, because I don't come here prepared with what to say, I just come in and then I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to bring witness. And then suddenly somebody begins to say something. And then when he begins to say something, I've done it for years, for many years. Person begins to say something. Sometimes I come to contact without a message. I just come early. Then I pray my prayer from home. I say, Lord, make somebody say what you want. I will hear it. And then maybe somebody will just come leading prayer. Or but we just want to narrate something, we say something. I'll just hear it. Me, I'm well studied. I'm well studied in that book. I'm studied up. I don't need to go take pen and paper to form a mess. No. Don't worry. But don't follow me. It took years. Like 30 years. Okay. So, I'm studied up. And that doesn't mean I don't study anymore. I'm just saying that maybe a little bit more than you I have studied. And so when you just come and you make a statement, the Holy Spirit alights upon one of the statements. And then I see that that's where the door is. Then I begin to preach. Then you say, Kai, I came with some heavy revelation. I got it in church, just like I got this one too in church, from sister. Sister was leading prayer. And she mentioned the scripture, and the scripture stuck to my heart. I've been doing it for years, so I know when a witness is furnished. Alright? Now, so Jesus is in the dock. And you are called to be a witness unto him, to support him. Not a witness for him. Not to talk for him. But to provide evidences that what he's saying is true. Who he is true. Do you understand? Do you realize that that is the Holy Spirit's work? Because the Bible says when the Spirit of truth comes, he will not speak of himself whatsoever. He will bear witness of me. Huh? And now the Bible says that same power will come upon you so that you can be his witnesses. You cannot do that without the Holy Ghost. You know, those guys, those apostles, they saw Jesus die, they saw him resurrect. But it was not enough reason for them to go out and be witnesses. They wait for power. Because the true person, started with the responsibility of witnessing the Holy Spirit, you have to receive him before you can go outside there and bring evidences about Jesus that will convince people that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Finally, just like I said, before I come out to preach, I go to God in prayer. And when I go to God in prayer, I ask him to give me a witness, an inner testimony about the direction of the meeting. Sometimes he's so gracious while I'm praying on my knees, he comes up with a scripture upon my heart. So I know the direction. Sometimes I pray and there is no impression on my heart when I'm at home. So I know that I cannot pray amiss on the matters of seeking witness, because there is an office in the spirit that is designated to bear witness. So I know that I'm not out of range. It's just that I'm waiting for his time. So I can come into the service. What you are looking for is different from what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a sign that will furnish witness. And I always get it. So it doesn't matter the congregation, the crowd, the number of people on the field. All I know is that in order for me to minister to them, I need a witness from the Holy Spirit. That is what qualifies me to stand as a witness about the testimony of Jesus. Once I receive that witness, I can speak to 1,000 people. And that my utterance will mean 1,000 things to 1,000 people. The reality of Jesus will be furnished so much, and you will not know what you will say to each person that will be the reason for the furnishing. As you are just speaking, some people get their own witness from the first statement, some others from the other statement, some from the song you sang in between, some from the story that you told about a miracle. So, the reason why I can do that is because in my heart, there is already a witness from the true and the living witness when he flashed the scripture my attempt to discuss that scripture now makes me in alignment, in partnership with him, bearing witness from his own realm and by his own ability. And you give an altar call, there are 800 people on the field that have been touched already. So we cannot do this business except we align with the new and the living witness, which is the Holy Ghost. Did you get that? So that's what it means. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You are going to be a partaker in the assignment of the Holy Ghost. Because it's his assignment to make Jesus real. And now that you have been called into that commission, that line of ministries, it's a partnership between you and the Holy Ghost. A partnership between... So you can't do witness without the Holy Ghost. So if we are going to go out to do evangelism, for instance, and we have not prayed for up to 1 hour, we have not prayed for up to 2 weeks, we are going next week, and we have not prayed for up to 2 weeks until we all have a witness. It can come in form of a scripture, it can come in form of a sentence. There must be something you receive from the true witness that will become the plane from whence you are going to launch, and it's going to guide your hand and guide your utterance until that witness gets into the heart of the one that you are preaching to, and Jesus will win the case again in that life. The reason why the guy is not born again yet is because there is a case. Jesus is in the dark, and it seems that his case is not so convincing because there's a lack of a witness. And you are the one that is going to be that witness that will come to fill that void, and you will be guided by the hand of the Holy Ghost, and you bring witness to that life. Beyond the person's reason, there will be persuasion that will convince the person that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the truth, he is the way, and he is the life. That's evangelism. It is a game of power. If we want to go to IBB Square, which we are going to go in November or December, we must have 2 weeks of prayer on ground. 2 weeks of prayer, day prayer and night prayer. That's what we will do. Just day and night prayer. 2 days to the crusade, we'll go and do night vigil on the ground and sanitize it. Just to find out if the Holy Ghost will say anything. Hallelujah. And then we now come on the day of the meeting. And then we now say, H. Baker, bring your guitar. If the song he picks is a song that the Holy Ghost witnesses, as he's singing the song, maybe in your ear, the song may not even be so fine, but as he's singing it, he is not alone. He was given that song. The song was handed out. It will light the place, the entire place. And that song can be a message enough to end the case in court that Jesus is not. If you are a very sensitive evangelist, sometimes the music minister is the one that God sent. Sometimes you don't need a message. Sometimes the music minister can finish the whole work for you. And then when you come, you build on that and you just press. You don't start again from the beginning. Because time is of essence. If the message has already reached the people's heart and they are already, the case has closed, the judge has struck, discharged and acquitted, Jesus is discharged from this life. The argument has fallen. He has become sovereign. Hallelujah. But we don't need any message anymore. Now that will mean that age got a witness from the Holy Spirit before he came to minister. And that was a channel that was sufficient to change the time. We need prayer. We need the Holy Ghost. When we enter into witness business, we need the Holy Ghost and we need power. The first line of power that we need to invoke is the power that brings conviction to the heart of man. You know, the church of today is weak because we are actually empty on conviction. That's a sign that the Holy Ghost is not amidst us. I've seen several people that claim to be anointed, but people leave their services without conviction. That's not the Holy Ghost. In my own opinion, everybody is excited and nobody is challenged. Somebody living in sin is not challenged. Somebody that is not outwardly living in sin but is not committed to God is not challenged. Meanwhile, the first line of support that we get from the Holy Spirit is that when we begin to speak, he will begin to convict the people. That's a sign that the Holy Ghost is alive. That's why we need power. When last did you preach and people cried? Not because you took Koboko to... We didn't even preach about her. We just went and started preaching about the Holy Ghost. People just started crying. Nothing like hell or That's his nature. That's what he does. That's a proof that he's there. That's a proof that is power. Conviction. Before we talk about miracles, before we talk about revelations, I'm telling you something, and I tell you real strong. The day of the evangelist, it has come back again. Our fathers of old in this land, the revival that took place, it was pioneered by evangelists. That is what we walk here. Staying in the caves, teaching is wonderful. I've been in the teaching arena for a very long time. I know the power of teaching. I can transform men, change normal people into leaders, into influential people. I know the power of teaching. Just in case you know Jesus and you teach right, it can change the whole land. But you know what? The call now is a call for the evangelist. We need to go to the field. It was when we went out for this crusade, I discovered we're wasting the grace of God in this classroom. Where the grace is required is out there. And any money we spend, we put together to ensure that we have all it takes to go out there is not a waste. We have taken root sufficiently well. Now it's time to bear fruit, and we need to go out to the field where fruit is harvested. Hallelujah. And ye shall receive power. So much teaching in the body of Christ. Little doing. Little practice. With what you know, most of you here, if all of you here, with what you know, you can pastor a rural church. Conveniently. With what you know, because I've taught you everything that I do in ministry. I'm an open book. If you have stayed here up to 3 months, 4 months, you should know what ministry is and what it's not. Most of you here can pastor people. So we'll be doing our generation a great disservice for us to sit here every time. It's time to go out. So that those among us that are captains of 50 can find their band. Those of us that are captains of 1,000 can find their place. My vision is that everyone will find his destiny and capacity in the body of Christ and maximize it. We must have maximum capacity utilization. My job is to make sure you have the platform for expression. You must be released into your destiny. We are tired of you sitting down. Just know the days of sitting down, they are over. And that grace that is upon your life, we need to put it to work. The missionary orientation must come back again. We have about, if I'm not mistaken, 14 to 15 churches out there in the woods, in the field. And you say you have a teaching ministry, they are needed there. You don't need me to come and tell you, oh yeah, go to call one of the pastors, tell the person you are coming this weekend. Go to another one another weekend. You don't need somebody to mobilize you to do that. Don't need somebody. If you are here and you want to teach here, as long as you are here, okay, people won't like your own like my own. It's not as if I will not give you, they won't like your own. If I say, okay, it's you now that will teach in the next contract, nobody will come. They won't like you. They won't like you. One contract I came, like I was so tired I didn't want to preach, but I was around and my friends were preaching. Then somebody now came to me and said, Pastor, you know why we traveled all this distance? It's not, thank God for this people. They won't like your own life. So if you are going to maximize your ministry, it may not be on this altar. As people desire to preach on this altar, me, I'm tired of it. Let's go out. We can plot a graph for this city and bring Makurdi down. Our ancestors in the faith, I saw a kingdom do that. Home-based, homegrown, evangelic unction could hold a city. No, I will not die until I see that happen. Amen. I saw that happen. Homegrown man with sweet grace, wonderful spirit of God upon his life. And he brought meaning to a lot of lives. His days were few, but his marks were eternal. It's time for us to go out. We need to put a lot of prayer investment. Now, when you find the media people going on street evangelism, group by group, you must produce your fruit. This is what I have to offer. If you need prayer to push it, that's why we have night vigil. We must have answers You guys are pastors. My God. I went to pray since I saw pastors preaching. I said, no, anybody in the choir can do what this man is doing. Anybody in the choir. Jesus. So I'm back. And this time I'm leading you out to the field, to the villages, to the woods. And we are going to bring witness that Jesus is the Lord. If we don't do that, people won't believe. The arguments will remain. Something that will conquer the arguments. And pedestal the Lord Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Are you ready for this moment? By next month, we are ready, good to go. Because we have fulfilled the 10-year cycle. In the next contact, which we have made prayer conference. We made the prayer conference deliberately because it marks our 10 years. Chronologically. And from that point, our release to make noise has come. Hallelujah. We'll make so much noise that people will be tired. We'll weary people. Hey, Yakomala. You know, for Jesus to say, don't make noise, he knows that it's natural for me to make noise. So he now gave instruction. He now gave instruction. Said, you don't make noise. Don't make noise. Hey, don't make noise. You sit down. Don't make noise. Hallelujah. Now that he says, make noise. That's what we do. We make noise. We'll make a lot of it. We'll make a lot of it in November or December. And you know what? Let me give you a secret, a hint, all right? Before we pray together. And the prayer will be short. I came to pass a message of the current body. Now, you need to see the kind of results we had on the field. With the people that came to give their life to Christ that first night, you can start a church with that number. And that church will be one of the biggest churches in this town. You know what I'm saying? With those guys that came out, that can't you start a church? It will be one of the biggest churches in this town. And that was just one night. I say, what? What have we been doing with our lives? Then the Mulan went to the Islamic stronghold, where they say El Zakzaki, his temple was there, and all kinds of things, Islamic people that are so hostile. Oh, all those things are fallacies. If the power of God comes down, what are you talking about? And the power, it came down. You can pierce through any atmosphere. Who said there is a place that, no, bring witness to Jesus. Bring witness to Jesus. You could sense the unbelief in the environment. No problem. I know Jesus well. You use your small unbelief. It's like, no, I know him. I told them, you don't need to believe. This one will happen. This one will happen. This one. You don't need to believe that. It's not up to you. You don't need to pray about it. Don't say amen to support it. And they'll go, ah. They say, which kind of stubborn? No, it's the spirit of Elijah. It's the spirit of Elijah. I began to go on the strange things that took place in that place. No, you will not believe it. There's one I can't say here. If I say it, people will hear it. Something happened that is strange. But I will not say it because people might hear it. We are going out. We'll start with street evangelism, one-on-one. Alright? Reaching out to people. But before you go out, get what? A witness. Get a scripture. Get reinforcement in the spirit. No, get direction from the Holy Ghost before you go out. Pray enough until you get that. You will win that soul. Nothing will stop it. Meanwhile, as you're going on the field, it's not everybody you are preaching to. The Holy Ghost will lead you to. That's what evangelism is. The Holy Ghost will lead you to such as should be saved. Is that clear? Such as what? Should be saved. And then when you begin to do it again and again, you become an addict of evangelism. One day you can be in the bus and you'll be quickened to begin to preach. It's initially they will think you are mad. But when you begin to strike the chord and there's a true witness in your spirit, that will be somebody's day of salvation. We go out as troops for Jesus. We go out as the voice of Jesus. We go out in the spirit of Jesus. That men might turn from darkness to light. We are his foot soldiers. We participate in the spirit's ministry of bearing witness about Jesus as we partner with him that he may bestow his power upon us in the name of Jesus. Now, I believe you heard my presentation properly. Now, if you're going to stand in the dock and bring witness for Jesus, you have to forget about yourself and make Jesus your priority. And one thing is true, if you can forget about yourself and bring service to Jesus, serve Jesus' will, He will make sure that you are saved. He will make sure. I've seen that. Hallelujah. I've seen that. If you make Him a priority, He will make you a priority. We're about to go for our wedding. And I saved money for our wedding. And then this land now came out. And they checked it from Landside Survey. And it was not a troubled land. The guy that said he owned the land was the true owner of the land. And he was saying 1.5 million. There were houses here. I had to take from my wedding money somebody else to sacrifice. And we came together and we bought this land. When we bought the land, I had problems. Because the problem was how was I going to pay for my wedding. Hallelujah. And then the great one now comes. He now said, no, you will not spend for your wedding. I will take care of your wedding. Hallelujah. If I tell you the whole story, you will not believe. Well, at the end of the day, we spent 6 million. 6 million. So in my family since Adam, my wedding is still the best till now. 6 million. My relatives from the village, especially those ones from my mother's side, came to me and said, where do you work? They didn't know. It was not where I work. The Lord decided to glorify Himself. And at the end of the day, because I sold my car so that we could do some things with Lance and Sophie, all right, push the fire, and also to do some things with the legal people. And when we went for that wedding, they gave us a car that had AC. The one I sold had no AC. The one we were given. Now, that was the car I was driving around this town that people hated me. I was driving. But you see, there was a covenant behind the car I drove. And even though people hated the young boy that was driving car everywhere, there was no accident because I was protected. There was a story behind it. Glory to God. And as if you would think that car I was driving around was the best that God could do. It came to pass in a moment of time that the Lord did more. And as I am standing now, I've given 6 cars out since that time. Glory to God. 6 cars. I just realized. The same place in North Bank where that Ekenedili Chukwu bus dropped me 12 midnight. That my money that I paid to transport, the money finished on the bridge. I should trek to BSU from there. They slapped my head. Bam! Hey, where are you? Your money don't finish. And they stopped on the bridge. Same place. I've driven through that place with 6 different cars. That same spot where I was left as a destitute. I was sold out to God. I was doing all things for God. And it came to pass that God decided to cut covenant with me. Since you have come this far, I will take your life as a project. And first thing that happened, I used to be very sickly. No more sickness. Second thing that happened, many things happen that we don't keep count of it. Can you allow God be an instrument of His? That's when you get His best. You'll never get His best by doing this businessman contract with God. Get lost in God. Get sold out. God bless you in the name of Jesus. So we are going to the field. We are going with the gospel. And we are going to bear witness for Jesus. That's what we'll be doing this season. We'll be on the field. Crusades in various local government areas. And then we'll round up in Makurdi by November. So we are going to Nkum local government on the first weekend of March to try our hands on the local field. We are trusting God for a heavy move of God's power and a great harvest. We'll be there to see the ministers on ground so that we can commit the souls to them. And also follow up to see what will happen. Our intention for going to that field is not to plant a church. We want to begin the assignment that God has given us. From there, maybe we'll move to Ushongo, we'll move to Vandekia. Before we begin to come this way, we are going to go to Agatu, then we'll go to Bajimba. And we'll plant a church in Bajimba, plant another one in Agatu. Then we'll go this way, and all the churches will gather and we'll storm Naka again, afresh. Storm Naka afresh. By November, the Calvary will move to IPP Square. The God of this state, we are going to confront him face to face. We have come of age. And God will glorify himself. And once we have started that festival in IPP Square, we'll never stop until Jesus comes. We'll never stop. Every year by November, we'll be there. Every other year. Until the atmosphere of the state is so open that anybody that practices witchcraft will need to hide in the woods to do it, because it will be outlawed. Glory to God. Now, I want us to present ourselves briefly in 5 minutes in word of prayer. You don't need to stand. You can sit down and pray and say, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Make me an instrument. An instrument of your peace. Of your peace. Where there is striving, let your love increase. An instrument of your peace. That my lips might be filled with the good news about Jesus, the testimony about the Lord. Make me an instrument of your peace. For the Bible says, how good, how beautiful are the feet of them that bear the glad tidings. Oleto kasila abrante kubra sovena ambiata. Gobre satwa ikabeletumbra sila mambale. Govasato mandaneto kumbre samandalia. Ikabes kumbra mantale kumbre samanda baboria. Ya mama mama mama. We give you glory. An instrument of your peace. That the frontiers of your kingdom will be extended. The heart of the rebellious will bow down in repentance. And men will call upon the name of the Lord. That as we move from place to place, let the hand of God confirm his word with signs and wonders. Let the altar of the evangelist be erected again. Let men of flame, men of fire, men of God, like the 70 foxes of Samson, begin to devour everything that is upon their path as they're born in glory. And the Lord will begin to raise an army for himself. A people sold out, a people ready. That his grace will flourish upon their lives. This is the day of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord. We, his foot soldiers, we march. We march with this assurance that the time has come to gather the fruit of the earth. All nations must bow. All knees must surrender. This is the day for which we are apprehended. The day for which we were formed in our mother's womb. That we might proclaim the hallowed name of the King and the great monarch of Zion. What a privilege to be numbered in him. Komala hasanele. Ilabonda basila. Brosketa balanto mina bratelia. Mama, 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 mama. Make us bold in the spirit. Bold in the spirit. Bold in the spirit. Ilabonda brasketa minahandi alababo. Bold. We need every man, every woman, every gift, every instrument, every vocal cord, every voice. We need every tool that we can muster to proclaim the excellency of our King and the greatness of our God. Oh God, we give you glory. Manda boseke. We sign up as instruments of peace. Instruments of peace. Instruments of peace. We sign up. We sign up. We sign up. Oh, oh, oh. That in Makodi again, let the song of the Lord be sung. Let the hearts of men turn. The city has been in silence for too long. Now we call forth a sound, not a noise, but a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind, that it might invade the city. Palitoko sambalata. Imbraman sento bre la kubria kapeskoba. Membro sata ika paraske. Embreke tele kombeza minda habaya. Ikombra samin tokoboros. Nisene kande zuzena. Zuzena, zuzena. Braita kambaske mbolota minazite. Ika bereso branda. Akabaita kobela I. Ebrete kambe soma. This is why we were apprehended. This is the reason for which we were called. Mama yato, mama yato, mama yato. Ile kere toli asika. Amensa ike. Mebre santa babola kambela haya. Ima hayato, ima hayato. Strengthen us with might. Strengthen us with might. We need to sing the Lord's song. Mayato kepeleke sahib. That's the hidden, the people sold under darkness will come to lamb light and sing along the songs of heaven, that their heart will bow down with repentance, and they will worship at his feet. For unto him is the praise of all nations due. Oh God, we pray as we call upon your name. Let him that has strayed away from the altar be gathered back. Let him that is broken be healed. Let him that is forsaken be accepted again. Let there be redemption. Let there be a manifestation of the love of God. Let the power of God mend hearts that are broken. And let men find hope again. In a hopeless day, let hope be born in the hearts of men. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, and the things that are seen were not made by things that do appear. Oh God, we ask. And the spirit of the evangelist, the spirit of witness, might come again. Yes, we have labored in discipleship, showing men the way of the Lord. But now, we ask that you give us that voice that can rattle the foundation of nations. That voice that can enter like a storm into the delicate balance of the heart of man and trouble it with conviction. We ask, oh God, for grace. Hey, sobenatia logomba, atemba abato isalama, abrekete somontema, ayakolia kalete, ambele tokopaha, ambele tekeskobria, monda leto kabre. This is the reason for which we were born. Yonder place where the lights are shining bright, Jesus Christ, he will make all things all right. Yonder place where the lights are shining bright, Jesus Christ, he will make all things all right. He'll make all things all right. He will 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 make all things all right.
He will make all things alright. 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 Things alright. He will make all 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 things alright. He'll make all things alright.
He'll make all things alright. He'll make all things alright.
Yeah.
He'll make all things alright.
He'll make all things
alright.
He'll make all things
alright.
He'll make all things alright. He'll make all things alright.
He'll make all things alright. He'll make all things alright.
Sing it to him right now.
He'll make all things alright. He'll make all things alright.
You are the one he's been waiting for.
He'll make all things alright. He'll make all things alright.
Make all things alright.
He'll make all things
alright.
He'll make all things alright.